This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
And let us pray. Open the eyes of our heart so that we may see you in your Gospel of John. Amen. Please be seated. Wonderful to see you all. Christmas 1. Happy Christmas 1. 4 days later, we're still in the Christmas season. It is a joyous season, and it's just wonderful to be with you again. We don't hear about shepherds today. We don't hear about angels today. We don't hear about baby Jesus today. What do we hear? Gospel of John, the prologue, the first 18 verses. I gotta tell you, I love John. But when my wife says every Sunday that I'm going to preach, what are you preaching on? I say, in the beginning was the word. She goes, oh, it's too obscure. It's too heady. It's too, you know, I don't get it. So we're going to break it down today. I had a wonderful professor in the first seminary over in Boynton, a young priest that just came out of Rome. He studied John, and because of that, I have a lot of enthusiasm for John. In fact, we just finished Stories of John by a rabbi named Amy Jill Levine. Who is in the class I'm looking for? Yeah, okay, I'm going to look at you all because I'm going to ask questions. You're going to shout them out. And if you don't, anyhow. So John is all about, you know, we hear in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, right? Why did John write like this? Why didn't he include angels and babies and magi and, you know, incense, frankincense and myrrh and all the... He was writing it very differently. He wrote much later than all the synoptics, the first three gospels. As I say, Peter, Paul, Mary, and Joe, and all those people, right? But he was writing much afterwards, and he was assuming that you knew those Gospels, because we have to assume that he did, and his people, his community did. So he writes kind of very poetically and talks about the Word. And the Word is the Messiah, but it's just a different way of approaching, right? And the question sometimes is, why? Why did he do that? So, rabbi and scholar Amy Jill Levine posits, as a good New Testament scholar, that's a Jew, by the way, says, in the beginning was the Word, echoes Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was a formless and empty void. Darkness covered all the earth, right? And the Spirit of God was hovering over it. Day one in Genesis. She suggests, and I am enlightened by this, that John, in his the way of in the beginning was the Word, is day one because now Jesus is in the world. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, right? It's important. I mean, it's just a very different way of looking at the whole gospel. She calls this not only day one, the new day one, she calls it a reset. Because all the history beforehand from Genesis on, and we know it's, you know, it's poetry too, right? To that day that Jesus is born is pre-Christ, right? Pre-Messiah. And it's very important that now we have the Messiah and then Messiah in our midst. And, of course, the Holy Spirit, who happens to be there in Genesis, right? The Spirit was over those waters that God created. All right, so that's kind of step one. You got to get into that. Then it's also that a human came into the world that was also divine. And the call from John is, and I said to my people in my class, what's the one thing that you got to remember about John? John points to Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ. The other gospel is kind of you walk through and Jesus is born and, you know, or he has this long family history and you finally get to the point, you know, that he's divine. John, from the very get-go, is this man is both human and divine, and he's come down to be amongst us living as a human, but by the time he became, say, 30 years old, when he went out public ministry, he knew, by then at least, he knew that he was the Son of God. At least that's the way John presents it. So this Messiah being introduced into our world is very important, human and divine. And when we're created, we were created both as human and divine. Does that make sense? People say, well, there's the, we have the soul, that's definitely divine. Something to really think about. John's gospel is very different. It makes you really think. And you don't have to do anything today but listen and open the eyes of your heart. That's what John's all about. John is telling you what you are. And because John is kind of poetic, he lets us know who we are. God created us a little bit lower than angels, we know that. And sometimes we need to go up to the stratosphere of John's thinking and live into our own divineness. It's just in you, but you have to recognize it, right? Being a disciple of Christ means being changed. This is when it becomes a realization that you are changed. If you're living in Christ and you know you are a child of Christ, it changes you. All right? So listen, though, because there's prophets before that kind of pick up on this, even before John. We hear Isaiah today. Isaiah talks about how God has changed him in our lesson today. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exalt in my God. He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with garland and a bride adorns herself with jewels. You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. Isaiah is pulling forth the same ideas that the Lord, when the Lord made creation, light, darkness, everything we hear in Genesis, God also called out your name. He called you out. He called out John. He called out Adrian. He called out Erica. Each person was called into being. And later on, John makes it really clear. He says, we're cherished by God into our souls who shine with new potential and the beauty of life immersed in God. This is true even when we are away from God. Mentally away, or we just feel, ugh. That's part of being human, right? Because the underlying reality is our desire and hunger for God will do three things. It will always drive us back again when we have fallen. We'll reach out again when we've lost contact with God. And we open up again when we have hardened our hearts. By the way, pre-Christmas especially is a time to harden your heart. I've found that. And you kind of get like too busy, you're like burned out, like, what? I can't wait till Christmas is over. It's driving me crazy. I got to get... That's very typical. Now Christmas is over, we all can go breathe in and breathe out. It's kind of nice, right? It's just normal, unfortunately. That's the way it is. So that's why it's wonderful to see you, because we're back, right? Now we can relax. Everything's been done, hopefully. Now we just got to take down all the lights and all the stuff, but it's a lot easier to take it down and pull it up. And then strikingly, John says, but to all who received him, meaning Jesus, the Christ, who believed his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of flesh or the will of man, but of God. You are a child of God born by the will of God. Again, you don't have to do anything. It's already in you, right? So John goes on to say, no one, this is the last line, but I'll go back to something else. No one has ever seen God. It is only God, the only Son, Jesus, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. And that was God's, Jesus' mission, right? Because God made the choice to share God's self in the human form. And we have seen, he ends by saying, God in Jesus Christ, and it is amazing. So John was a witness, or his community was, and then wrote the story at AD 100, 120, somewhere in there. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. That shows that Jesus was close to his Father's heart, and that's where he lived, in that perfect trinity of love, right? And then he left that peaceful, radiant place to become a human in this messy world. He lived very poor. And again, why? To stay with us forever, yes, but to bring us to that place of the Trinity, to bring us close to the Father's heart. We hear in the second reading today, we call out Abba, Father. I was always, when I heard that early on, I was always like, doesn't make sense. But now I get the Father part. Abba, you know, it's not our language, but get the Father part. That we're always kind of crying out, right? Anyhow, the idea is to bring us close to the Father's heart. And he says, and I go to prepare a place for you. One of the final things he says to his disciples on the night before he dies, by the way. And this is the fundamental reordering or resetting that Rabbi Levine talks about. It's a day one. It's a reset. It's a total reset of our universe that happened on that Christmas day 2,000 plus years ago. So, back to John. Sometimes poetry is really worth reading, right? It's because poetry is what explains the why of our actions as disciples, as followers of Jesus. And if you're not a true disciple, if you follow the truth, the way, the life, a good life, you are a disciple because it's in you. It's already in you. You can't escape it. And this is why the scripture matters so much. Because when real life comes crashing in, right, someone dies. When there's an accident, when someone gets a cancer, a diagnosis, those type of things, we have somewhere to anchor our souls. And we do, in simple words from John, that wrote a very long time ago, the light that shines in the darkness is Jesus, right? And the darkness did what? Did not overcome it. So we were here last night at the 5 o'clock service. We turn off all the lights. There's one candle left. And guess what? The darkness did not overcome it. So keep that in your memory when messy part of life comes crashing in. The hard knocks of life plus this poetry of scripture give us a chance to build our lives so that we know that because Jesus the Word came into our world and because Jesus is our light in darkness, darkness will never overcome it. Amen. Don't you like John now? I do.